All right, now don't close those Bibles just yet. Keep those open to this text. We're going to dig in here a little bit deeper here today as we consider the virtuous wife, and we're going to talk a little bit more about what that really means. Well, let's open today with a word of prayer. Lord God and Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity that we have to gather in worship to you. Thank you, Lord, for the text that has already been presented and for what we're going to be studying today. I pray, Lord, that through the Holy Spirit, you would give us discernment. I pray, Lord God, that you would bring conviction where we need it. Guide us to your absolute truth and help us to see what we need to change in our lives to more glorify you through our lives. Lord, help our lives not to be a waste. Help us, Lord, not to be idle and to just follow the normal things of life. But Lord, I pray that you would do something amazing in us. Change us to be more like you. Help us to have real purpose in our lives, and help us, Lord, to rejoice in all that you give us and all that you do for us. Lord, thank you for this wonderful day, this very nice day outside. Thank you for godly mothers. And I thank you, Lord, for the mothers in our lives who have been a great example for us. And I also pray for the mothers in our lives who still need you. I pray, Lord, for any of those today that have mothers that need Jesus as their Lord and Savior, that you would work in their lives today. Help them to see what they need to change to bring honor and glory to you. And Lord, again, I thank you for this time that we have to dig into your word. I pray that you bless it, encourage us, help us to move forward and remember the things that we have learned. In your name, I pray these things. Amen. All right, so we're going to dig deeper into Proverbs 31 today. So the virtuous wife. Now, for those that are unmarried, I'm thinking mainly of you three in the back row. Pay attention to this today. These are all good attributes of a godly woman. This is something you want to look forward to in the future. To be like, hey, what should I look for in a woman? Well, start right here. Proverbs 31, okay? So the virtuous wife. In the Hebrew, the word used for wife is actually the same word used for woman. So the context of this passage is pointing to a wife that is taking care of her husband and her children, which is why you'll see in more updated versions of the Bible, you're going to see the word wife and not woman. However, women don't naturally start off as wives. They are not born wives. And so today we will consider this as the virtuous woman. Now, the word virtuous here is also translated as noble or capable. More updated translations suggest the word excellent. And the idea here is that the noble one, the capable woman, the excellent woman should be valued because they are not the average, but they are very rare. Now, throughout this chapter, we are getting a better understanding of why this woman is identified as excellent. And let me give you another example of a woman, one also that comes out of the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 27, verses 15 through 16 says, "A continual dripping on a very rainy day and a contentious woman are alike. Whoever restrains her restrains the wind and grasps oil with his right hand." Now, someone who is contentious is one that is likely to cause an argument. They are the one that tends to provoke others to purposely stir up strife instead of looking for peace. Now, we could also consider Proverbs chapter 21, verse 9, "Better to dwell in a corner of a housetop than in a house shared with a contentious woman." Or verse 19, "Better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and angry woman." Now, here we see that it is better to live on the roof of your own house. Now, back in Bible times, they used to have more flat roofs, okay? But even if it was an A-frame, essentially what it's pointing to is that you have absolutely no peace inside this house with this woman. It'd be better for you to climb up on the roof and live in the corner, almost falling off the roof, because it's the only place you're going to get peace. Now, these passages give us a really good demonstration as to what it feels like to be around the contentious woman. It doesn't seem to be a very desirable situation. But let's consider something today. How did the contentious woman become contentious in the first place? Now, we could say that it was through a series of unexpected circumstances, perhaps a loss of a job or a lower income than what was promised. Perhaps it was from a bad relationship or a sickness that drew on, or even from a loss of family. By the way, something I'm noticing this morning is that this side wins today, gold star. This side, oh, not so good. So sorry, you guys need to grow a little bit more over on this side. So I don't know what's going on over here. You're like, why are they being, because you're missing like two rows of people. I don't know where we are. So kudos to you guys, win, gold stars. All right. Now, the reason that I really want us to dig into this today is because we are all in danger of letting our own lives follow this same pattern. The contentious woman, or we could say the contentious person, is one who is filled with anger and bitterness and even discontentment. In fact, we live in a society today that is so negative, where people demand their way and their opinions to be heard over everyone else. It must be their way. And we need to be careful that we do not follow the attitudes and the passions that shape this kind of understanding. Because our society teaches it, our schools teach it, our colleges teach it. Our whole society today teach to put your thoughts and your opinions first and do what you want. Which is why we have a society filled with contentious people, selfish people, rude people, even manipulating people. The kind of people that you don't even want to spend 5 minutes around. Which is why the contentious woman is described as a continual dripping, like that dripping from the faucet, the kitchen faucet. I don't know if you guys have ever experienced this in the past. You likely have. But laying at night, trying to get a good night's sleep, and you hear that drip, 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 it, drip. And in their mind, it's like it doesn't stop. Instead, it builds until you just want to snap and go do something to the faucet that will likely destroy it, but cause a lot more water than what you had before. But the person that draws on our patience so much that we would rather be anywhere else, even up on the rooftop, to be away from their presence. Now, there is something missing from the life of the contentious woman. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Now, the attitude behind contention has no place in the life that we see growth through the Holy Spirit. Now, that is not to say that gospel believers cannot become contentious, but it does mean that we are going to have to push back the Holy Spirit in our lives to demand what we want over what He's trying to teach us. We're going to have to desire to be more negative and to be more angry than the Lord's teaching in our lives of being loving and joyful and peaceful. Now think about it in contrast here to Galatians chapter 5. You cannot be filled with the love of Christ and also be filled with hatred and bitterness. They don't work together. They don't mesh. It's either one or the other. You cannot have the joy of the Lord and also be spiteful and biting towards others. You cannot have the peace of God and be angry with your brother or sister. You cannot have great contentment and long suffering while you are frustratingly irritated or impatient or loudly annoyed with those in your family. You cannot be filled with kindness and tenderness and warmth while you are cruel and callous towards any other person. You cannot have the goodness of God while displaying evil and a heart of coldness towards others. And you cannot be faithful, steadfast, and dependable while being impulsive or double-minded. You cannot be gentle and compassionate while being thoughtless, heartless, or insensitive to the needs of others. And you cannot possibly have a life marked by self-control and modesty when your mind is set on pride, gratifying any desire, and arrogance. Now let's take a closer look at the virtuous woman here in Proverbs chapter 31 to see what we may glean from her today. Now, I want to consider today 10 features of the excellent woman. Now, it is often, we often look at the outside features of the woman that is claimed to have the beauty, but here we see in Proverbs 31 that it is the inside features that make her most desirable. Look with me here at verse 10. Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. Now, the first feature that we see in the text is that the excellent woman is a woman of character. A woman of character. Now, this is a person of moral excellence and integrity. Someone who values honesty, who treats others with respect and strives to do what is right, regardless of the struggles or challenges in life that they may face. Now, those who strive to live in this manner is typically one that we would call godly. A person whose passion is to live a Christ-centered life and to put God first in all things. Now let's look at some of her other features provided by the insight of this woman's husband. Notice in verse 11, what is it about him? What does he do about her? There's something significant. He trusts her. Yes, he absolutely trusts her. That means that he can hand her the credit card and say, okay, go to the store. I trust you. I know that it's not going to all disappear. And he trusts her. What's that?
He safely trusts her.
He knows that her intention and her focus is not about filling her own desires, but helping and loving the whole household. She has a goal, just like him, to be focused on the household. Who's going to take care of the whole home? So that is one that's not just thinking about what can I get, but what is needed. Now, he absolutely trusts her, and this is not just in his mind, but he trusts her throughout. He trusts her even in his heart. He knows that there is nothing that he cannot trust her with. He trusts her not just in one thing, but in everything. Now, the second feature that we see in this text is that the excellent woman is trustworthy. Her husband trusts her here with everything, with managing the whole household, even balancing the checkbook. And by the way, Tracy balances the checkbook much better than when I do. When I balance it, for some reason, we have more money. But Tracy says that money doesn't exist, so we'll just go with what she says. So, but he does not worry what his wife is going to overspend or even hide something from him. He doesn't have to worry about that. He trusts her with everything. Now, what else do we see from the husband here in verse 23? Notice here, her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. Now, This is speaking on the husband, but this isn't pointing to us how popular he is, okay? There's something very specific here. In other words, the excellent wife here enhances the husband's standing in the community. Now, this is not talking about how great her husband is. This is showing that this woman is so known by her character that even her excellence brings her whole family to a more well-known and even trusted status. Now, think about that. There have been many times, and even on a job site, that other men would be whispering behind their back about the trouble that a wife is making at home. There is no such thing here. This woman is lifting up, and in fact, she's so well known by her character that it's like her children and her husband shine by her character. This is incredible. She honors and respects her husband and builds him up by what she says and by what she does. She is an honorable woman. Verse 28 says, her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. That shows us that the third feature that we see here in the text is that the excellent woman is encouraging. She is encouraging. This is a woman that a husband and children love to come home to. This is a woman who makes a home more loving by the efforts that she makes to encourage and help her family. This is a woman that the husband behind the scenes brags about. He's like, oh man, it's too bad you're not married to my wife because she's awesome, okay? All the things that she does behind the scenes and just the little things, she's so cool. I can't wait to get home to spend more time with my wife. Now, I have seen husbands brag about their wives before, and there is pride there. And these are relationships that honor God and honor each other. These are relationships that never talk, even in joking, about the D word, because it doesn't exist. Because God is on his throne, and these relationships value God's leading over man's excuses and inadequacies. Now, I've also seen husbands who wince when their wives call. I've seen children that when their mothers call, they just set their phones aside and ignore it. There's a heaviness that I see come on them at that moment that is just, I just don't want to hear from them. It's enough that I have to go home at night and be with her. And that is a heaviness in your life that you don't want. That's not a happy home. Let's continue with verse 13. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. She considers a field and buys it. From her profits, she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good and her lamp does not go out by night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff and her hand holds the spindle. Now, the fourth feature that we see from this text is that the excellent woman is a hard worker. She is in no way afraid of work. She enjoys challenges even. She takes on new opportunities to help profit her household. And make note of that. She's not stocking up on money, okay, on the side to pamper herself. This isn't like a side job she's got where she's just going to provide for her. These are things that she's making in order for her to help her family and even to help others. Verse 20 says, she extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. Look at this extra that she has. She's taking care of the poor. We also see in the text that she's taking care of not just her own family, but her servants. And we don't have those today, but it's like the microwave and such, the refrigerator. Typically, those would have been people back in the day. And so you would help those people. And here she gives and she helps and she encourages. And the fifth feature that we see from the text is that the excellent woman is generous. She's generous. She cares not just for her own household, but seeks to give and to help others. Look with me at verse 21. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Look with me at verse 24. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes for the merchants. In other words, she has woven hats and scarves and clothing for her household so that they will be warm, even in the cold. She doesn't worry about the cold that comes on because she's already provided for her household so they're not cold. She has joined in with her husband to care and to provide. It is not just on his shoulders, but she shares in the burdens. And she does so with generosity and a loving spirit. Now, we never see her disgruntled with care. She is not frustrated that she has to do these things. This is the nature of a woman who is growing fruit in her life from the Holy Spirit. Verse 25 says, strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. And the sixth feature that we see from the text is that the excellent woman is confident. She is confident about the future. She's not worried or fearful about what might happen next. She's not concerned with the what ifs of life. No, she is confident about the future. In other words, she's not watching YouTube, okay, during the day or sitting around watching The View and is all worried about what's going to happen next, all right? Instead, she's confident about what God is doing and what He is doing through her and her family as she helps to strengthen the family and move forward. Verse 26 says, she opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. And we see the seventh feature here is that the excellent woman is a source of wisdom. This means that she is filled with godly wisdom, and she is also a good resource and teacher of wisdom. She is one who can teach her children good and godly things, and she is trustworthy to do so. You don't have to be afraid of what comes out of her mouth because she honors God in all things. Verse 27 says she watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Now, the eighth feature that we see from the text here is that the excellent woman is attentive to the needs of her household. Now, there's something key here, and this is something that we see a lot of generally today. Notice that she does not eat the bread of idleness. In other words, she manages things. She's hands-on, okay? She is directly involved in not just the cleaning of the house, but in all things that need to be cared for. She is not lazy, and she is not slothful. She's not sitting around at home watching the soap operas. I mean, maybe some of the guys are watching soap operas more than girls nowadays. But she's not, you know, that idea of as the man goes to work, the woman's at home eating bonbons and watching her soaps and stuff during the day. That is not what this woman is doing. She's not looking, hanging out, you know, on Facebook all day, finding out what the gossip is of the day and so on. What we see is her getting in, getting her hands dirty, being a part of her whole household. And what she's doing as she's doing these things, she's doing them joyfully. She wants to do these things. She doesn't feel like her arm is behind her back like, oh man, I'm forced into this. I'm pressed into it. No, she wants to do it. She's joining in. She's not blaming someone else for her problems, but she's getting in to do what needs to get done. Look with me at verse 28. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. By the way, this is positive reinforcement, men. Remember this for the future, especially you on the back row. In the future, make sure you're using positive reinforcement if any of you are futurely married. Now, this isn't the husband just kissing up here, okay? This is a genuine response due to all that the excellent woman has done. She is worthy of praise. She doesn't demand it. She doesn't complain because she hasn't received it. She is honored because she is honorable. And that's something to make note of. She is honored because she is honorable. This is like we see many times people who say they're in management, they demand to be heard because they're a leader, but they haven't earned that right. They are just demanding it because they believe that they are in charge. And here in the home, you have a loving and caring woman, and through the characteristics of her life, she is one that you want to be near, one that you want to consider, one that will honor you in return, one that will be trustworthy, absolutely trustworthy, that will be giving and generous to others, one that you don't have to worry about, that is going to go off one day and do their own thing. This is a life that is bathed in the Holy Spirit, who is walking by the Lord. Now, the feminism movement has come to a place today that it works to pit women against men, even wives against husbands. And much of their teaching and focus would really be anti-Proverbs 31. And I hear so much about how women should be praised because of their existence, not because of what they do. But that is not a reality. No one should be praised for simply existing and having an opinion. Praise is honor and admiration for those things that are praiseworthy. A life that is centered on the things of God is a life that is marked with honor, that is praiseworthy. However, a life that is centered on your own cares and selfish concerns is not excellent. Consider with me verse 30. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Now, the ninth feature that we see from the text is that the excellent woman fears the Lord. Now, this is her secret. She has godly character. Her life is marked by godliness. Now, there has always been an emphasis of when you're young, as a young man or a young woman, you look for someone, as a young woman, you're looking for someone who is really handsome. And for the young man, you're looking for the woman who is really pretty. And I have met some really pretty women who on the outside look very nice. But once they start talking and sharing what they believe, you see that they do not have a beautiful heart at all. And the same thing with men. I've seen some very handsome men that seem strong and that seem like natural leaders, but when you see them try to do things and the way that they're doing it, I'm like, no, they are not gifted as leaders. They are not gifted really as much of anything. But we need to be careful of what our priorities are. Our priorities in life should not be to be the absolute best looking thing out there. Our priorities, our main priority in life should be to glorify the Lord. To fear the Lord means to respect Him, to honor Him by trusting in Him and obeying Him. Not just saying you believe, but following through with what you say in obedience. Let's finish this chapter off with verse 31. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. That brings us to the 10th feature of the excellent woman. She has a wonderful testimony to others. Now, the evidence through her life shows that she is worthy to be praised. She is worthy to be honored. She is worthy to be trusted. She doesn't have to tell people who she is. Sometimes we meet people that are saying, almost have a sign that they wear that says, "This is who I am." And it's because they have to tell you who they are, because the reality of their life doesn't tell you who they are. In fact, many times it tells you the complete opposite. And this isn't what she does. You see through her life who she is. You see that she is trustworthy and she is generous and she is good and she puts her family first. And this is a byproduct. This is a product really of her daily relationship with the Lord. She continues to grow. She continues to put God first and then others first. And the result is that she is blessed. Now, there's an element that I want to circle back to that is something that we can all learn and grow from today. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." Now, the fear of the Lord for the gospel believer is a deep reverence for God. This is what leads us to godliness. However, the fear of the Lord for the unbeliever is an internal fear of God's judgment in their lives and an eternal separation from God in a place called hell. Now, we all have the opportunity to enjoy the fear of the Lord from a believer's understanding today. This is godliness. And godliness cannot happen in the life of someone who has not committed their life before the Lord. However, for those who have made Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, we can be godly. Consider with me this passage from 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 through 10. "But reject profane and old wives' fables and exercise yourself towards godliness. For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance. For to this end we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those who believe." Godliness is profitable for all things. Now think about this according to the Proverbs 31 woman. Godliness was a reflection in everything that she did. Her life testimony shows that her heart and mind are centered on God, not on her own self. Now, in the Greek, the word here for godliness means a proper response to the things of God, okay? And this response should produce obedience and righteous living. It's not just something that we know, just not something in the mind as knowledge. That knowledge should move us forward so that we have a reverence for God, that we want to obey Him and live righteously for Him. It's like how many things in life, we learn the truth of something, and then we can take that truth and say, "Well, whatever, I'm just going to keep doing things the way I want to do them, or I'm going to follow that truth." For instance, I've learned different truths about, food, genetically modified food nowadays that comes in certain things, or let's say canola oil. Does everyone know what canola oil is? Canola oil, Canada oil, actually comes from the rapeseed plant that's actually not heart healthy, but canola is repackaged as a heart healthy oil. Don't use it. It will hurt your heart. But you could take that and say, hey, this is the truth that I have learned from this. I can move forward instead and just ignore it and continue using canola oil. Or I can say, you know, it'd be better for me to let it go because now I know the truth. So it is in our life with the Lord. We have a truth of Scripture. And we can say, I either believe this and I'm going to move forward with this. And if I'm going to move forward, it can't just be in my mind. It has to produce fruit through me. If I say I trust in God, but I refuse to move forward, then I don't really trust in God. So I need to take that truth and do something with it. Now, we don't look at God in his immensity and power and then just shrug it off and center our attention on ourselves. We have learned of him as the truth. How can we move forward without giving him honor? Now notice the word here in verse 7. Exercise. Exercise. Now the word in the Greek is gymnazo. But let me show you how it's spelled. What does that word look like? Gymnasium or gymnastics, G-Y-M-N-A-Z-O. That is the word that we get for gymnasium. So thinking about it here, exercise, it doesn't mean to sit on the couch with your feet up eating Pringles. I just learned the other day that Pringles doesn't actually have potatoes in it. Or not enough potatoes. It's mostly like other flavoring, but people say it tastes really good. It used to say potato chips on the outside, but the FDA says you have to have potatoes in order for it to say that. So if you're like, Pringles, what am I eating right now? I also learned that bacon bits have no bacon in it. Listen, I've been sick for the last 2 weeks, so I'm just sitting there watching things after another. And so you're like, now Pastor's going to come back with tons of useless information for us. Yes, but some good things as well. So anyways, back to it. So gymnasium. This is where we get the word gymnasium. So exercise here means to work hard. Work hard. This isn't just something you write down on your checklist, but you have to work at it with your whole might. You have to determine to exercise every single day in order to achieve this godliness. And how do we achieve this godliness? By 3 points. Number one, we have to be a gospel believer. First things first, you have to admit that you're a sinner and repent of your sin, which means that you turn away from it. Repenting of your sin doesn't mean that you're holding on to your sin for a rainy day to go back to at some point. What if this Jesus thing doesn't work out? I want to go back to my sin. Listen, repenting is getting rid of it. You're doing a 180. You're not going back to it. It's gone. And you put your full faith and trust in Jesus Christ that he is your Savior. You commit your life to him. Number two is you deny yourself. This is humility and submission before our holy God. We need to daily die to ourselves. Daily die to our sin. In other words, we need to give our sin to God. We need to leave it with him and not go back to it. Remember, we repented of it. That means that we don't go back to it. That is a fight not to go back. If you think it's an automatic thing and you're like, oh, I just put it aside, so now I'm going to move forward and I'm not going to be tempted to ever go back to my sin again. No, that's not true at all. Anytime that you even give up a bad habit, you're going to be tempted to go back to it again. But it is a fight that we have to implement every day. And it's a fight that God gives us such victory in if we will trust in him and move forward. And then number three, we need to read the Bible and obey it. It's not just about reading it. This is where we grow most in our godliness, not in church on Sunday. Most of our godliness is grown through our everyday reading and studying of God's Word. When you're in God's Word every day, you will continue to grow to be more like the Lord. Now, the great pastor and author A.W. Tozer once said that Satan's greatest weapon is man's ignorance of God's word. And we live in a day of ignorance to many things, including the Bible. There is so much access to the Bible today. Anyone can read a copy online or even on their smart device. It is everywhere at all times, and yet we have more ignorance today than any other time in history. We are ignorant to what it really has to say, and most places today that are teaching a false idea of it, they don't want you to read it. They just want you to listen to what they have to say, which is why many times I tell you, don't take my word for it. Go and read it yourself. We need to be people of God's truth, so we need to be people of the Word. We need to go back and study out God's Word for ourselves and set aside that false information and instead seek to know God's Word on our own. Now, if we want to live a life marked by godliness, then we need to follow God and be in His Word to learn what He wants for us every day. Let me encourage you today to put God first in everything, as we have seen here from the Proverbs 31 woman. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord God and Heavenly Father, thank you for the example that you've given to us of the excellent woman here in Proverbs chapter 31. Lord, there's so many attributes that both us as men and women can glean from this. Lord, help us to consider this passage not strictly for one person, Lord, but let us look into this as to how we can change. Help us today to be changed inside and out. Help us to take the truth of God's word and move forward with it in our lives. Help us, Lord, to let go of the things that are evil in our lives, the things that maybe aren't so much even sin, but things that hold us back from absolutely trusting in you. Help us, Lord, to give these things up and instead put our full effort into trusting you, knowing you, and following through with what you have done for us in our lives. Lord, help us to be people who have a great testimony, who are trustworthy and loving and gracious and good, all because we follow you. Help us, Lord, not to give up, but to continue to press on for your glory. And I pray this week for everyone listening here today, I pray, Lord, that you would help us to get into your word every day, to read a little bit more about scripture every day and consider how we may apply your truths to our daily lives. In Jesus' name, I pray these things. Amen.